In 1968, at the MIA June Conference, Elder Harold B. Lee gave a marvelous talk which he entitled, A Leader, the Champion of Youth. Since having heard and read the talk, I would like to not only address my remarks to that subject, but to qualify as a champion of and for the youth. I recall the story of a teacher helping a young student on with his galoshes. They seemed smaller than his shoes. She got down on both knees, pushed, pulled, and stretched one boot until she finally got it on. Then she went through the same struggle and finally got the other one on. As she finally finished pulling it on, he said, "These are not my galoshes." The teacher pulled and struggled and finally got them off. Then he said, "They're my sister's, but my mother made me wear them." Some who work with youth may feel that they do not fit the calling. It is not always comfortable to work with the youth, but for me, as God is my witness, I love them. At an encampment in Finland, they decided I should know how to sauna. They heat their saunas to about 170 or 180 degrees. President Roto, the stake president, teaching me along with the scouts were experts, made a small bundle of birch branches. When we really began to perspire, he took the bundle of birch leaves and he swatted me all over the back and chest and legs and said, "That brings the blood to the surface." I said, "It works." Then we ran down and dove into the Baltic Sea, then back to the sauna. It's amazing what we learn when we're working with youth. Orson F. Whitney said, "You parents of the willful and wayward, don't give them up. Wayward, don't give them up. Don't cast them off. They're not utterly lost. The shepherd will find his sheep. They were his before they were yours. Long before he entrusted them to your care, and you cannot begin to love them as he loves them. They have but strayed in ignorance from the path of right. But God is merciful to ignorance. Only the fullness of knowledge brings the fullness of accountability. Our Heavenly Father is far more merciful and infinitely more charitable than even the best of His servants, and the everlasting gospel is mightier to save than our narrow, finite minds can comprehend." End of quote. Presently in his talk, then went on to say, the Horace Mann, who was called to dedicate a great school for boys, said, "If this school, costing all the millions that it has cost, is able to save one boy, it is worth all that it cost." One of his friends said to him after the meeting, "You let your enthusiasm run away with you, didn't you? You don't mean that the millions we have spent here would be worth it if we saved only one boy?" Horace Mann looked at him and replied, "No, my friend, it wouldn't be too much to spend if that one boy were my son." Then with great power, presently, and with emotion, said, "I want to tell you, it wouldn't be too much if that were one of my grandsons. They're precious to me, and some of them are stubborn, hard-headed, and rascals, just like their grandfather, hard to manage and difficult. If somebody, please God, would just steer them past this dangerous age so that maybe they will find themselves like someone tried to help when I was at that dangerous age, I would be most grateful." End of quote. The youth of today are wonderful. Elder Perry, the Utah South Area Presidency, and the Young Women Presidency recently held meetings for all the seminary students in the area. In Salt Lake, the youth filled the tabernacle, the assembly hall, the auditorium, and 4,000 crowded on the grounds and listened over the PA system. We had 23,000 at the Marriott Center, 3,200 at Dixie College, and over 3,000 at Snow College. The total number exceeded the number of seminary students enrolled by 5,000. We invited this marvelous modern army of Israel to put on the armor of God and to stand for truth, become a marvelous, forceful influence against immorality, drugs, and indulgence. The response has been wonderful. The youth of the church are one of the most powerful forces for good on the earth today. It is not difficult to understand why the great God in heaven has reserved these special spirits for the final work of the kingdom prior to his millennial reign. My heart, like Enoch's, seems to swell wide as eternity as I consider what our youth, those being born in this time, will accomplish. This generation will face trials and troubles that will exceed those of their pioneer forebears. Our generation has had some periods of respite from the foe. The future generation will have little or none, but their great faith in the Lord will give them needed strength. Our youth influence their peer groups for good. President Wilford Woodruff said in a general conference in 1898, concerning of the work of the dead, the prophet Joseph Smith said that in the resurrection, those who had been worked for would fall at the feet of those who had done their work, kiss their feet, embrace their knees, and manifest the most exquisite gratitude. I believe our youth will rescue an entire generation. Their work will bring these same feelings and emotions from parents and grandparents of those spiritually rescued. I believe the promise of Ammon to his brethren applies to the youth today. In the 26th chapter of Alma we read, "Yea, they shall not be beaten down by the storm at the last day. Yea, neither shall they be harrowed up by the whirlwinds. But when the storm cometh, they shall be gathered together in their place, that the storm cannot penetrate to them. Yea, neither shall they be driven whither with fierce winds, whithersoever the enemy listeth to carry them. But behold, they are in the hands of the Lord of the harvest, and they are his, and he will raise them up at the last day." This is a chosen generation. Some time back, I was in Raymond, Alberta, Canada. Debbie, a beautiful teenage girl, spoke at state conference. Among other things, she said, "I want to tell you about a friend I had when I went through high school. She said she felt homely, but he told her she was beautiful. When there were dances, he would always dance with her. He built her up. She said, he was my very best friend. He was handsome, popular, and he lived his religion. I never heard him swear. He never violated the word of wisdom, and he faithfully went to church. She said, it was a good thing that he was a strong member of the church because I tailed him everywhere he went. I did what he did, and I would have followed him anywhere. I cannot express the love and respect I have for him. I was not his girlfriend, but I sure loved him. He is on a mission now, and we write regularly. He still loves me, and he's still my best friend. He's my older brother." What a blessing it is to the church when brothers and sisters are filled with a kind of love and respect for each other. In April 1945, President Harold B. Lee talked about our young men in the military. He said, "I listened to a doctor recently who said that the medical journals reported that the boys who had become mentally unbalanced in large majority," and he's talking about World War II, "were the boys who had broken homes, whose wives or sweethearts had been unfaithful at home." Then he said this, "We have heard much in our conference about our boys, but we have heard about little about our girls. Thank God for great women like President Dwan Young and President Ardeth Kapp, who are great champions of youth. These are wonderful, noble, great women with vision and understanding. Women are endowed with special traits and attributes that come trailing down through eternity from a divine mother. A young woman has special God-given feelings about charity, love, and obedience. Coarseness and vulgarity are contrary to their natures. They have a modifying, softening influence on young men. Young women were not foreordained to do what priesthood holders do. Theirs is a sacred God-given role, and the traits they receive from Heavenly Mother are equally as important as those of the young man. Sometimes misguided women or men direct our youth away from their divinely appointed role. Worlds without end, men will never be able to bear children. Every young woman may be a procreator with God and carry a little one under her breast, either in this life or the eternal worlds. Motherhood is a wonderful, priceless blessing, no matter what all the world may say. Priesthood ordination is a blessing to man. There are serious consequences when either motherhood or priesthood are abused or laid aside. All of the prophets have been champions of youth, but I think our beloved prophet, President Benson, stands at the pinnacle of those who love, defend, and champion our youth. Who will ever forget President Benson's marvelous counsel to the young men and the young women of the church? Both of these talks have been distributed to the church in pamphlet form. President Hinckley, during the February 1985 Diamond Jubilee of Scouting in America, said, "What a wonderful thing it is to plant in the heart of a boy the compelling axiom, be prepared." Be prepared for what? For tying knots, yes. Not tying is tenderfoot duty, but it's important. In one sense, this whole business of living and doing is one of tying knots, the kind of knots that will hold and not give under stress and strain. We see all around us the evidence of failure, of knots that slipped when they should have held. They are evident in career failures and business failures and professional failures and marriage failures. To be able to tie the right knot for the right reason, for the right occasion, and to have it hold against every stress is part of the process of being prepared. And President Monson's entire life has been committed to the youth. He sits on the National Executive Board of the Boy Scouts of America. His talk over the years have reflected a special love for youth. Who will ever forget his talk, "Run, boy, run"? Donald Dowdle, a great friend of mine, sat at a meeting years back. A young counselor in the stake presidency, Thomas S. Monson, had just concluded speaking. The old patriarch in the stake stood up in the congregation and said, "Thomas Monson will sit in the quorum of 12 apostles." Then he sat down. Indeed he would and has. And what a towering champion of youth. That great American philosopher, Yogi Berra, said, "Good pitching is better than good batting, and vice versa." He also said, "If you don't know where you are going, you're liable to end up someplace else." I think Lord Baden-Powell was endowed from on high with a fire burning in his bosom for the youth. He wanted them to know where they were going. He is another, or was another, great champion of youth. He wrote what he called his farewell message to the scouts of the world. Dear scouts, if you have ever seen the play Peter Pan, you'll remember how the pirate chief was always making his dying speech because he was afraid that possibly when the time came for him to die, he might not have time to get it off his chest. It is much the same with me, and so although I am not at this moment dying, I shall be doing so one of these days, and I want to send you a parting word of goodbye. Remember, it is the last you will ever hear from me, so think it over. I've had a most happy life, and I want each one of you to have as happy a life too. I believe that God put us in this jolly world to be happy and to enjoy life. Happiness doesn't come from being rich, nor merely from being successful in your career, nor by self-indulgence. One step toward happiness is to make yourself healthy and strong while you're a boy, so that you can be useful and so can enjoy life when you are a man. Nature study will show you how full of beautiful and wonderful things God has made the world for you to enjoy. Be contented with what you have got and make the best of it. Look on the bright side of things instead of the gloomy one. But the real way to get happiness is by giving out happiness to other people. Try and leave this world a little better than you found it. And when your turn comes to die, you can die happy and feeling that you are at any rate, you have not wasted your time but have done your best. Be prepared in this way to live happy and to die happy. Stick to your scout promise always, even after you have ceased to be a boy, and God help you to do it, your friend, Baden Powell. Now to my young friends, also from one who loves you. What you do now today may have far-reaching consequences. I believe today's Aaronic priesthood and young women of the church will lead the youth of the world through the most trying time ever in the history. It is time that the Aaronic priesthood must come of age. The rod of iron leading to the tree of life for you, our young men, may well be the implementation of the complete and full work of the Aaronic priesthood. As we marshal your forces in your true identity as deacons, teachers, and priests in the holy Aaronic priesthood, we mobilize an army of Israel such as has never been known before in the church. Your numbers are legion. I believe you will be expected to perform the most important work in this dispensation, with the exception of the work of the prophet Joseph. President Kimball said, when I read church history, I'm amazed at the boldness of the early brethren as they went out in the world. They seemed to find a way even in persecution and hardship. They went and opened doors which evidently had been allowed to sag on their hinges, and many of them to close. These men of valor began to walk the earth with dignity and honor and mantles on their shoulders, keys in their hands and love in their hearts. My faithful young friends, you can match their boldness stride for stride. You can walk with equal dignity and honor with a mantle on your shoulders and keys in your hands and love in your hearts. Then we will exclaim as did Ammon, therefore let us glory in the Lord. Yea, we will rejoice, for our joy is full. Yea, we will praise our God forever. Behold, who can glory too much in the Lord? Yea, who can say too much of his great power and of his mercy and of his long suffering towards the children of men? Behold, I send you, I cannot say the smallest part which I feel. I know of no more glorious work. As God is my witness, I love it with every particle of my heart and soul, and I love him with even more than my life. I hold it a high honor to walk by your side as a true and noble champion of youth, loyal champion of youth. God bless you, youth of the noble birthright, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.